Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays on 100.3 FM.
Really?
You can't help but smile when you hear garbage like this.
Top of the show, and you're Rick rolling us.
I will forever have the image of Rick Astley dancing because he has one dance move.
In one of those long duster jackets. Look at you go. You
know I don't know how he does it. Well, we got a hot show. It's a Thursday, which means we can smell the weekend. As each day turns, more from Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. Tom Cruise is being accused of not seeing his daughter. Why would that be? We'll find out today. Catfight in the world of Ozzy Osbourne. Sal Cerencioni joins us with the latest of classic rock news. Jackie's Throwback Thursday. Funny man Christopher Titus joins us. Todd has all that's in the sports world. And we will share with you the redneck word of the day. It's all coming your way on Mark in the Morning. Well, there's a lot of blowouts going on in this NBA game. Wednesday night, it was the Cavs' turn. They had home court advantage, and they dominated their opponent 120-90. Warriors coach Steve Kerr on what happened.
If you let your guard down and the other team is angry, then you can see this kind of turnaround. It's happened in every series for them, every series for us.
You might watch it.
I watched a bunch of it. I couldn't figure it out because I'm not a huge basketball person. But by the end-ish, where it didn't look like Warriors could catch up, they focus on Steph Curry and a couple other dudes, and they're laughing. And I'm like, are you allowed to laugh knowing that you're going to lose? And Tim was just like, hey, man, what are they going to do? There's literally no way they could win at this point.
I've just never seen one where there's so lopsided wins.
No.
It's not even, what was it, 120 to, it's not even close.
Are Steph Curry and LeBron James the new Kobe and Shaq?
I would say they're the two biggest names.
Yeah, not the same team, but yeah, I guess so.
But, like, you know, going head-to-head, the two golden boys. Mm. I mean, unless anyone was wondering, they're both cute, and I would date both of them.
At the same time?
Yes.
Oh.
So, in what I was thinking, because of what Linda was telling me was wrong with her, I thought she had a sinus infection.
Yeah, that's what you said.
So we went to the doctor yesterday, and apparently, physicians these days are very skeptical to pass out antibiotics.
Yep.
And so the doctor checked her out fully and then said, you have a viral infection. So there's nothing, antibiotics are not going to help you. You're just going to have to ride it out.
Mm.
And so she gave us some bull crap pill to take, which is over the counter. The only prescription item she got was a nose spray that you can only do once a day.
Yeah.
And then as we're leaving, she said, if you're not feeling better in 2 weeks, come back. And I'm like, 2 weeks?
2 weeks? That's insane.
What do you do? I mean, and then today she woke up and she came downstairs like she normally does. And she just said, I have to go back to bed. I feel awful.
Oh.
And it's the one, we all know this. It's the one with the really painful cough.
She has a dry cough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And it hasn't started moving yet. So that's in her world.
Oh, poor Linda.
Now, June, I'm going to ask you a question, and I think I know the answer to it. Do you do laundry?
Personally?
Yep.
No.
Who does it?
Tim.
Boy, you got it good. Gina, let me ask you a question. Do you cook?
Yes. Sometimes. On weekends. Every couple weekends. I like cooking, but hey, yo, get off my back. I have two jobs. He's a writer. He works from home. Stop looking at me like that.
What did you have for dinner last night?
I actually didn't have dinner last night. I just had a little bit of cottage cheese, and then later I had a little bit of almond butter. It was very boring.
Wow.
You would have hated it. But, I'm down another pound and a half.
Good girl. Way
to
go.
Thank you.
You are looking super great.
Thank you very much.
for a person who started out not that attractive.
Oh, God bless you.
All right, I have something for Tim.
The queen is queen under the sun.
A company in California has developed a robot that folds your shirts and pants twice as fast as you could do it yourself. The Foldymate will cost Tim $850, and it can't handle underwear, socks, or oversized items like bed sheets.
Where do I sign? Does it really fold your clothes? Do you have to do anything to prepare it, or you just walk away, set it and forget it?
I would imagine you've got to do something. It can't walk over and pick them up.
For $800, it better be able to walk over and pick them up.
Well, I'll tell you something that I've had my eye on that looks like it's pretty good. What is this vacuum cleaner that it's a robot, and as soon as you press it, it just vacuums the floor?
The Roomba?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
the little
it.
Circle?
Can that be worth a crap?
I know people that have it. I think it's it doesn't get the corners because it's circular.
Right.
But it's fun to watch.
But does it really clean?
I mean,
like a real vacuum cleaner?
I don't know, but wait, Mark, you know it's responsible for one of the most viral videos of all time.
Oh, the one with the cat dressed as
a dinosaur? Hold on. It's going up on Mark in the Morning Facebook. Hold on.
It is pretty funny. That cat is dressed as a dinosaur, sitting on the Roomba and enjoying the ride.
It's awesome.
It is absolutely too freaking great. As soon as you get it up, let us know. Okay. We'll have you go to Mark in the Morning. If you haven't seen it, you've got to.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And last night, the late night guys were hilarious. Ton of jokes. So let's highlight them. Here's Conan, Seth Meyers, and Jimmy Fallon.
Donald, in an interview, Donald Trump said he won't have to ask God for much forgiveness. Yeah. Unless, of course, God turns out to be a Mexican woman who's a Muslim. Then he's going to... Can you imagine?
But Bernie Sanders has still not conceded the race and said that there's actually a chance he could end up being the nominee. Unfortunately for Bernie, that chance involves a DeLorean and a flux capacitor.
We gotta get back money!
Earlier today, it was announced that authorities on Staten Island are going to try to curb their deer population by giving the animals vasectomies. When asked how much it would cost, officials say they're not sure, but it will have to be done under a buck.
Guns N' Roses singer Axl Rose is demanding that Google take down several images that depict him as fat. Yeah, Axl is particularly hurt because all the photos were taken by Google Earth. That's the problem.
Oh, boy. There you go. There's your Mike TV.
Boo-boo, sit. Good dog.
The primaries are winding down, and we have CNN's Wolf Blitzer on the phone to fill us in on the results. Thanks for taking time, Wolf.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. And winding down, I sincerely beg to differ. On the contrary, things are just starting to heat up. In fact, according to the latest CNN viewer poll, 89% of people are ready for things to pick up steam.
Well, that may be true, but there's no disputing the fact that at the end of the primaries will bring in a lull in election coverage.
Not according to our just-released CNN Situation Room Blitzer poll, which states that there is a 98% chance that I will dispute the fact that there will be a lull in the coverage with a 2% margin of error. Simply put, the numbers don't lie, Mark.
Well, now it sounds like you're just making up polls just so you'll have something to talk about.
Nonsense. According to a recent CNN Pollbot 3000 poll, there's only a 3% chance that I'm creating polls because I have little else in my life that matters to me and brings me joy, with a 97% margin of error. Just incredible.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
I'll tell you what isn't sad, Mark. The data we've received from the CNN Ultra Numerical Binary 2.0 Redux poll, it says that there is a 78% chance that I would rather talk about numbers than feel the tender touch of my wife. With a 69% chance that I would rather get my lush, lustrous beard caught in a jet engine's intake than go a millisecond without analyzing the polls. But wait, Mark, I'm being told we're now receiving even more fascinating data from the polls, the sweet, sweet polls, the polls that never talk back, the polls that never lie, the naughty, naughty polls that aren't afraid to experiment.
Good Lord, Wolf, get a grip. They're just polls.
Just polls? Quiet, you fool. The polls can hear you. Never mind him, my sweet polls. You're more than just polls. You're everything. Rest, polls. Rest easy. That's right. Rest in my arms. Feel my heartbeat. Yeah, that's right. Now, touch me, polls. You like that, don't you? Touch me good. Touch me true.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Wolf.
Oh, great. I'm getting new info from the CNN Pollmatic Platinum Deluxe Bonus Edition Pollectric Boogaloo poll that there's a 100% chance that you hurt the poll's feelings. Luckily, there's a 1 billion percent chance that I'm going to give the polls the good loving the polls need that will make them forget all about you and your unkind words. It's just going to be a sweaty blur of numbers and graphs and beard hair. Wolfie-likey.
Goodbye, Wolf.
Oh, and another poll about to be released. Oh, polls. Oh.
Oh, God.
Wow.
This is CNN.
Wacky tobacky.
According to a new study, people who smoke weed for a long time, like up to 20 years, are at an added risk of gum disease. But that's it. No other physical health problems whatsoever.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
It goes on to say, researchers tested 38-year-old long-term marijuana users for such things as lung function, inflammation, blood pressure, and body mass index. And the smokers pretty much checked out with a clean bill of health.
Wow. Did they test memory at all? Because that gets affected.
My long-term goal was to do morning radio. And this was in my pot smoking days. And I used to get high all the time and do a show. So I thought, well, I need it to do a morning show. So each morning about 6:30, I'd slip out back and pull on a little. And some guy, I forget his name, he was an ass, but he was on the show with me as the news guy. Uh-huh. I got too high and I freaked out. I just stared at him because I was like freaked out. And then the look on his face.
There's got to be tape of that somewhere. That's my worst nightmare. That's one of the biggest reasons I would never do that.
Yeah. Well, I slowed down after that. I don't think I got high on the radio
That's
anymore after that.
Crazy, Mark. If I did that, you go, what do you think, Gina? Gina? Don't talk to me there after me. They'll hear you.
But look, this is just my opinion, but I think pot versus liquor.
Oh, yeah.
Because liquor is basically poison.
Yeah.
That you're putting. The pot. Yeah, man.
Starts way less fights.
Yeah, you're just too chill.
Yeah.
You're just too into it. All right, I'm going to share this with you.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
So my daughter, Amy, she's our middleborn. She is living in sin with her boyfriend, Bradley. I think you guys might have met Bradley. Oh, I think he's been up here one time.
Many times, yeah.
Now, when Chick on the Street, when Katie was doing Bold and the Beautiful, I mentioned to Christy Dooley, who is the casting director, about Bradley's an actor, and she said, have him come in. And then she called me, and she said, Bradley's really green, so I'm gonna use him as background. So pretty much every other day, Bradley would go in, and he would be background on Bold and the Beautiful. Now, I defended that to him, and I said, it's really great because that way you're learning how to stand in the wings.
Absolutely.
Listen for your cue line. Because that's really the nuts and bolts of acting. You got to be, you know, once you get out there, you got to nail it. Anyway, Bradley had his second talking part on The Bold and the Beautiful. And I got this from Christy Dooley, casting director of Bold and Beautiful. She said, Mark, Bradley was so good in his role today on Bold and the Beautiful. I was very proud of him.
That's nice. Nice.
Isn't that great?
Good for he's Bradley.
He's been taking acting classes and really, this kid works three jobs, does Bold and the Beautiful, and then takes acting classes at night.
That's what you got to do. God love
him. You got to admire. I think the burning question is this. Everybody's talking about it. Will Mark remember to read the Bristol Farm sponsorship at the end of Four Reasons Today Doesn't Suck? I will even have the sheet in front of me.
Which means nothing.
And then Mikey puts up a note, says, read the sponsor. All right, but right now let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, the National Enquirer claims that Richard Simmons is transitioning into a woman, though Richard's people deny it fervently. Fair food lovers, listen up. Deep fried Twinkies will be available at Walmart soon. They will come frozen and you will have to, quote, cook them thoroughly, it says on the box. And here's what's trending in sports. The Rockies beat the Dodgers in a very low-scoring game yesterday. Rockies won 1-0.
Going back to the deep-fried Twinkies, yeah. That's what we need. We need one more item to help our fat ass get fatter.
It's true, I know. Yeah. I'm Gina Grad, and Trending is brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, rock reporter Sal Cerenzioni tells us what Tom Petty thinks of going into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. But first, the Beatles. This is Mark in the Morning.
We are now joined by Sal Cerenzioni, senior editor for the Premier Radio News and Prep, for the latest in the world of classic rock. Tonight, I think it is, Tom Petty is being inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Sal.
It is indeed, and that's why I am wearing a tie and a sport jacket, because I have to go cover this little festivities at the Marriott Marquis Hotel. Yes, Tom Petty is amongst those in the class of the 2016 Songwriters Hall of Fame. He is going in alongside Elvis Costello, Lionel Richie, Marvin Gaye, Nile Rodgers, and Bernard Edwards, and Chip Taylor, who, of course, his brother is the actor John Voight, and John will be on hand to induct Chip Taylor. Roger McGuinn will be doing the honors for Tom Petty, and caught up with Petty recently, and this was what he had to tell me regarding his approach to songwriting.
A lot of my work, I try to make sure that it's got, I call it, you know, a 3D aspect, where it can be this on paper, but it can be this in your head, you know? There's not necessarily one way of looking at this. And I think you enjoy them more, and there's more of a timelessness to them.
All right, and speaking of timeless music, Queen's We Are the Champions, that is the subject of what is pissing Queen off. And, of course, the person who's pissing them off is Donald Trump, because he has been using it at his campaign rallies. So, guitarist Brian May took to his webpage, said, I've had an avalanche of complaints about Donald Trump using our We Are the Champions as his theme song on United States TV. This is not an official Queen statement, but I can confirm that permission to use the track was neither sought nor given. We are taking advice on what steps we can take to ensure this does not continue. Regardless of our views on Mr. Trump's platform, it has always been against our policy to allow Queen music to be used as a political campaigning tool. Our music embodies our own dreams and beliefs, but it is for all who care to listen and enjoy. And of course, Queen is not alone in being upset with the Donald. The list includes Elton John, Adele, The Beatles, Twisted Sister, Neil Young, and Aerosmith, which leads me to my next story. The Steven Tyler Country album finally has a title and a release date. It is called We're All Somebody from Somewhere, and it will be out on July 15th. Tyler says that country music is the new rock and roll. It's not just about porches, dogs, and kicking your boots up. It's a whole lot more. It's about being real, and nothing is more real than understanding we're all just somebody from somewhere. Tyler will... Yes, Mark?
Sal,
yes?
Here's Gina's favorite song. Red, White, and You.
Okay.
Steven Tyler.
Here, Mark.
Yes. Yeah, the sing along, Gina.
No, this song sucks. The one he put out before this was great. This is so pandering. Red, White, and You, Mark. Right now, nothing else matters. Don't be happy.
Yeah.
Don't see dance, because you know I hate this song.
Sing along, Gina. Get it.
I won't sing along to a fake song.
Sorry, Sal. Go ahead.
The other one was great.
This is actually perfect. The two of you are fighting over a bit of a country song, and I have to get into this one quick story. A couple of years ago, for those who listened to the Mark and Linda podcast, Mark boldly predicted that Faith Hill and Tim McGraw would come to a con- would break up.
Oh, and,
yes!
That's what I'm trying to say. That their marriage would end. Mark was so sure of this. Well, the rumor is that they have hit a rough patch after 20 years of marriage, but instead of going through a divorce, they are going to go for counseling and try to keep it together for the kids. In the meantime, Mark Thompson is transitioning into a man, just on the off chance that Faith Hill does become available.
Yes!
He'll be on the market. And that's basically what I have today. So, from Premier Radio Networks in New York City, I am Sal Cerincione. Booyah!
Jackie, you ready?
I'm ready.
Jackie, Throwback Thursday.
Hey, y'all. So today I'm featuring INXS, who in my book is super underrated. And word on the street is this particular song was inspired by Michael Hutchence, lead singer of INXS, girlfriend at the time, Miss Kylie Minogue, who had to dye her hair blonde for a role when she was working as an actress. I guess she's not working as an actress anymore. Not sure. Anyways, here's Suicide Blonde on Jackie's Throwback Thursday.
Ooh.
A message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
So before I read this, this is an email sent to Dave. It's from a guy named David G. Hall. He is a program director. I think he was at KABC when I was at KLOS. And if I'm correct, then he and I had a couple of sit downs. I'm correct in that?
David was definitely there.
So here's his email. Good morning, David, even though it's Dave Beezing. He calls him David. I heard a segment on Mark's show on Monday that blew me away. Right before 7, he did a thing about Muhammad Ali that was so well prepped, so well thought out, had so much insight and so much sound from so many different sources. It may be one of the best things I have ever heard him do in 30-something years of listening.
Wow.
Would it be possible to get audio of that? In my work, I talk to radio people about prep all the time, and this is such a good example of excellent prep from a show that isn't supposed to sound all nailed down and prepped, and it really worked. I'd love to use that as a best practices example. Thank you in advance. What have I been saying? What have I been saying?
That you're a radio god?
This proves it, people. He is now going to use me to teach others.
Wow. Hmm.
I think apologies are in order from this room of disrespect.
Wait, what do we do? We like Muhammad Ali. We're happy that you made a... Okay, we're sorry.
Look, it's a white sheet with black letters on it. That means I am pretty special. Say it.
You are pretty special. No one can deny that.
All right. We're about to open up a topic. And it's best that I just read it and then we'll open up the topic. The topic is going to be, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done? Here's an example. Joseph Rosado strolled into a branch of Artesian's Bank and went up to the teller's window, where he pulled out a handgun, demanded money from the cash drawer. The clerk handed over an undisclosed amount, and Rosado bolted for the door and ran to his car. When he noticed, he had locked his keys inside the getaway vehicle. The 21-year-old attempted to run. Cops responded, found him with the money on him. Now, for myself, and again, if you have a really stupid thing that you've done, you can share it, 888-696-1003. For me, it could be the time that I blew up my father's lawnmower.
That was a good one.
My parents, for Christmas, gave me a chemistry set. So I had a lab in the basement, and I put together a concoction of all kinds. I ground up aspirin. There was toothpaste in there, rubbing alcohol, as many things as I could think of, and I mixed them together. I then, because I was completely convinced that it would help, I poured it in the gas tank of my mother's car.
You're psychotic.
I really thought it was going to help it. I really believed in my concoction.
What's your last name? Castrol? You have no business in this business.
But I do think my most recent is the biggest one.
Wait, before you tell it, did your mom's car explode?
No, it gummed up the engine and it had to be completely cleaned, $300.
Oh, God.
And I had to mow lawns to pay it back.
And that's another story.
Well, I think the biggest one was the most recent. The kids were here visiting, and it was cocktail hour, and Matt strolls out and looks me straight in the eye, because they had just come from New Jersey, Matthew, my son, and his now fiance, Eleni. He strolls out, he's got his cocktail, and he said to me, "So I just asked Eleni's dad for her hand in marriage." And we talked a little bit, and then Eleni strolls out with her cocktail, and I... Eleni, I just heard Matt asked your dad for his hand in marriage.
Oh, God.
And Matt gave me that look that only he can give me. She didn't know it. He didn't want her to know it. And that I felt 30 times the idiot that I am. So I think only because that's the most recent, that would be mine.
That is rough. I mean, is it just implied that it's a secret? I guess not. Like, did it just come flying out of your mouth, or you just didn't realize that was something she wouldn't know?
I never thought that would be something. I would think that she knew that he was going to do it before he did it.
No, it doesn't work that way.
I know. See, and that's why it's really, really, really bad to be me.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
You mean well. All right.
And it's every day. You have no idea what a curse it is to sometimes be me.
That's by the way, that is the reason Linda's staying in bed today. It's not because she's sick.
Gina, what about you?
Well, mine's more of a cautionary tale. This is the first one that popped into my mind because there's a million. But long story short, when I first moved here, a friend of mine loved my personality, loved my acting credits, pulled a ton of strings to get me an interview with his agent, which is a big agency in Los Angeles. And I had never been to an interview like this before, and I was so nervous that I completely shut down and went into like too cool, icy bitch mode. Like, I had attitude. I didn't really speak. I wasn't very playful or bubbly. And after about 15 minutes, they said, "Well, thanks," and got up and walked out of the room. And I was crestfallen. I go, "What did I do? What have I done?" And in that moment, I realized, and Mark, I wish I would have known you then, you've got to be yourself. I was so nervous. I put on this character that was awful that nobody ever wanted to meet with again. So I learned a very valuable lesson.
Well, at least you learned something
from
it.
Oh, I did.
All right, we're getting some calls. Mikey, what about you?
Working with you? No.
That's a good one.
I was delivering pizzas when I was in college, and, you know, the more pizzas you could take out on a delivery, the better. And I had a four-order drive, you know? And so I get to the first house, and I always leave my car running. Get to the first house, go to deliver the pizza, come back. I had an old Firebird, and I lock the door. The car's running, lock the door. I have three other orders in the car needing to be delivered. So I actually did something smart. I popped off the lock because old cars, they didn't have these secure locks. I popped off the lock and was able to, like, jimmy the lock open. And I got, it took about 20 minutes, but I was able to get back in the car.
That's good. That's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, share with us, 888-696-1003. What is the dumbest thing that you have ever done?
$30.
All right. This is huge. Everybody's talking about it. I don't know what the snickering's about. Everybody, I told you, and I know you didn't do it. I told you to go to a water cooler and just listen to the conversation.
Sorry.
You didn't do it. You didn't do it, did you?
Water cooler.
Good God. What's going on in here? So now, this is 5 seconds for $30. I'm going to get Pete on the phone here, and I'm going to ask him a question. If he gets it, he gets $30. If he doesn't, tomorrow's $35.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is some of the biggest drama in radio history here.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pete. Pete, how you doing?
All right. How's it going?
Going good. How old are you?
I'm 46.
Married with kids?
Yes.
Well, you got a little toot on that answer. What do you do
it's
for a living?
Personality flaw. Can't help myself.
Right. Do you like your wife?
I do.
You still have sex face to face?
Most of the time, yeah.
Hmm. All right, good. How many kids you got?
I got 3 kids.
Which one's your favorite?
Damn, that's a good question. I had to think about that for a little while.
All right, well, get back to me because I'm dying to
hear. Well, you know what? There's a chance that only one of them's listening, so I'm going to have to say to you.
Youngest.
All All right, Pete, you understand what's happening, right?
I'm ready.
Okay. I've got a question, and I'm going to ask this, and I can tell you, are you a daily listener to Mark of the Morning?
I am indeed.
All right, then you have a shot at getting this, because I asked this question a week ago on this very show, and the reason that I'm doing it is that today is Donald Duck Day.
Oh, man.
Pete, you're a gifted conversationalist. I just got to tell you that.
No, because I remember this question.
All right, are you ready, Pete?
All right.
Monday. Dude,
this is like the only one I didn't know the answer to.
Yeah, but we gave you the answer.
I said the answer.
I know, but I can't remember.
Oh, man. Hopefully it'll come to you.
All right, here we go. Good luck. You've got 5 seconds. For Donald Duck's Day, what is Donald Duck's middle name?
Starts with an R, right? Remington.
Oh, good guess. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Fauntleroy.
Fauntleroy. That's ridiculous.
Well, hey, Pete, listen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
Right.
And call again some other time.
All right. I'll talk to you later. See ya.
See you, Pete.
He really came alive after he lost.
All right, here we go. 100.3 The Sound is pleased to make this major concert announcement. The Rolling Stones will perform at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on October 19th. That's the Stones in Vegas on the 19th of October. So the Wednesday night after the final weekend of Desert Trip in Indio. Tickets go on sale Friday, June 17th at 10 at AXS.com, or you can charge by phone at 888-9-AXS-TIX. Once again, the Stones in Vegas on October 19th. We will have tickets to give away right here. Stay tuned to this FM radio frequency for more information. So the topic we have going, what is the dumbest thing that you've ever done? Now, we've talked about this before. One of the ones that Andy Chanley loved the most, when I told this story, he just threw his head back. We lost him for 15 minutes. As I said, when I was a kid, I was never bored. It didn't matter if I was with somebody or by myself. I day top of the morning to the end of the night, found fun things to do. So I liked to take a towel and tie it around my neck and get on the swings and swing back and forth where the towel would kind of fly like Superman.
Yeah. Like,
and then I would jump out, and it was pretty great. But I thought, hey, instead of using just a regular towel, because it didn't even drop past my butt, I got a beach towel because that's really going to flap good. So I'm swinging. I get really high. I go out, and because it was a beach towel, really long, it wrapped around the swing, yanked against my throat, and slammed me to the ground, knocked the wind out of my body. Thank you.
And let me guess, that was not the last time you tried that.
Well, I had to go back to the short towel.
Right. Yeah, smart. Yeah.
Hey, just like you, I learned.
See?
This ain't no hat rat, bitch. Let's go to Mark. Mark, what is the biggest dumbass thing you've ever done?
Yeah, I am. Back in high school, I was probably 16, we went to the mall, and we got a mouse, and remember those little parachute men that you throw up? They have like a little plastic parachute, and you fly down.
Yeah.
We tied the parachute to the mouse and parachuted him from the second story of the mall, and the mouse was fine. He hit the ground and ran across the floor with the parachute on his back, and they arrested us for cruelty to animals.
Well, now, out of interest, did the parachute work on the mouse?
Oh, yeah, it worked great. He floated down, hit the floor, and ran across the mall with the parachute on his back.
It's the best day of his life.
I got to be honest with you, Mark. Had I been there, I would have joined you in these shenanigans.
Oh, it was great. No one had ever... I asked a security guard, what do you normally do in this situation? He said, we've never had anybody do this before.
All right, Mark, with you on the phone, I can't remember what they're called. Oh, June bug. It's pretty big. June bug, they're green.
Yeah.
Pretty big. They were everywhere in the summer. I would get my mother's thread that she sewed with, tie the thread onto the back leg of the June bug, and then it was like a kite. He would fly around, and I'm holding on to him. However, I didn't get arrested for cruelty to animals.
Wait a second, Mark, you're blowing my mind right now. Mm-hmm. Is that what the lyric, Dolly Parton's lyric, "Watch the kids play with June bugs on a string," means?
Oh, wow. I don't.
From In My Tennessee Mountain Home?
You're saying that I wasn't the only one doing that?
No, this is a lyric in a Dolly Parton song, and I was like, why are they playing with June bugs on a string?
We have to find it. That's too good. I thought I was the... This is really great. It's like a living kite.
I had no idea.
So, the topic we've got going right now, what is the biggest dumbass thing that you've ever done? And I was talking a second ago, yeah, I lived in the South, and in the summer, June bugs were everywhere. And so I would get one, and I would take my mother's thread that she sewed with, and I would tie it onto his back leg, and then I had a living flying kite. I would walk around with the string, and he would fly, and I would just hold on to it. And it was fun until, you know, it's not fun. But then you said, is that the what the line from a Dolly Parton song means?
I never knew. I assumed she was talking about making little marionettes out of them or something. But this is, okay, so this is one of my top, I'd say top three favorite Dolly Parton songs, and you just explained something very confusing to me. Hit it, Mikey.
Sitting on the front porch on a summer afternoon, in a straight back chair on two legs, leaned against the wall, as I watched the kids playing with their June bugs on string.
That's it.
Never knew.
And dude, I really, until this moment, I thought I was the only one that ever did that.
You and Dolly.
My dumb ass thinking that. All right. He just calls himself idiot. Hey, idiot, what is the biggest dumbass thing you've ever done?
Well, let's see. I drove away with a pump, a gas pump, in my car twice, the same goddamn gas station.
Oh, I have
heard of this. Now, somebody did it that I knew, and what it did was it pulled the pump off of the tank. Yeah, it just disconnected.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it did with you?
It did. Same gas station. Same pump.
But there's like a safety. It'll disconnect itself, right? So you don't take the whole gas station with you?
What the hell? Might as well. Gas is so goddamn expensive. Might as well take it with you.
Well, idiot, there's something that you're not, it's your price. Look, when I pull up to get gas, I get out, I immediately open up the gas tank of my car, I run the credit card, I put the thing in, I pump it, and as soon as it stops, I immediately take it out and put it back. So you need to, there's something that you're doing that causes you to forget that that's in your gas tank.
Well, my mother nicknamed me Silent Destruction as a kid, so it perfectly fits.
It's a great wrestler name.
All right. Well, idiot, thank you for sharing. Now, I want to share one real quickly. By the way, we got full phones on this, which is fun. Everybody's a dumbass, and I love the fact that we're establishing that. It's cool. So do you remember the Darwin Awards?
These
would be dumbass stories that resulted in death.
Yes.
This is my all-time favorite. This guy bought a brand new truck, and he and his two buddies are going to go ice fishing. So they go and they drive this brand new truck out on the ice.
Uh-huh.
The three guys get out. And by the way, they're not going to fish. They're going to shoot the fish.
Oh, okay.
And so they got their gun.
Yeah.
Three guys and the dog, they get out. And these guys are lazy. They don't want to saw a hole in the ice. They brought dynamite.
Oh, my God.
So the guy lights the dynamite and he throws it. It lands on the ice and skids. The dog, thinking we're playing fetch.
No!
Runs and picks up the dynamite and starts trotting back towards the men.
So proud.
One of the guys picks up his gun and they start shooting around the dog to scare him. And it did. It scared him. The dog ran under the truck.
Oh, God.
Dynamite goes off. Trunks sinks to the bottom of the frozen pond.
Wow.
Doggy didn't make it.
Did the people make it?
Yeah, they survived.
That's fair.
Yeah, their dumbass survived. Bill, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done?
I can't beat that one, that's for darn sure. But, you know, it's the old lock the keys in the car trick, Mark. Except I drive a limo.
Oh, no.
Yeah. At 3 a.m. in the morning.
What did you do?
Well, it was one of the older Cadillacs, and it had this automatic door lock on it that I had forgotten about. o'clock in the morning, I pull up to this intersection, and I'm looking for the house, you know. And I can't see it, so I jump out of the car, and the car door was open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm across the street, and I'm looking at this house at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get a number. And wouldn't you know it, I turn around, and I look, and I see my car door close.
No.
And what I didn't realize was I had left the keys in the ignition with the car running. and the worst part about it was all my crap was in the car, so like my cell phone was in there. I'm like, oh crap, what do I do now? So I turn around and I look and I see the lady I'm supposed to pick up. She comes flying out the front door because I was parked on the wrong side of the street, and she thought I was going to knock on one of her neighbor's doors at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had to walk over there with my tail between my legs and say, like, ma'am, we have a problem.
Well, Bill, thank you very much for calling. Lori, what did you do, the biggest dumbass thing you've ever done?
Good morning. I felt so stupid. I took my son's baseball team. Now, mind you, they're all 11-year-olds. And we go to toilet paper the president of the baseball league's house. Ooh. So we all get out, and they do their dealio, and everybody gets back in the Suburban, and we get home, and they're all grabbing their backpacks, and my son, he goes, where's my backpack? And all the kids looked at him like, stooge. So he left his backpack there with Marcus Hill on it.
Evidence.
What is the biggest dumbass thing you've ever done? 888-696-1003. Jackie, our switchboarder, is standing by. Gina, what's trending?
Well, Prince's estate is getting hit with a hefty tax bill that could end up taking half of his estimated $250 million fortune and force the early sale of some of the vast troves of unreleased music that didn't seem like he particularly wanted to release. So we'll see what happens with that. Bristol Palin is officially married. The 25-year-old daughter of the former Alaska governor, Sarah Palin, married her on-again, off-again beau, Dakota Meyer. And here's what's trending in sports. The Cavaliers beat the pants off the Warriors last night, 120-90. I'm Gina Grad, and trending is brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, stand-up comic Christopher Titus in the room with us. But first, the Doobie Brothers. This is Mark in the Morning.
Joining us in studio is comedian Christopher Titus. He has three nights coming up at the Brea Improv, Thursday at 8, Friday 7:30 and 9:45, Saturday at 7 p.m. and 9:15. For tickets, go to BreaImprov.com. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning. Those are random times, isn't it? He's going to be there at 6:43.
Yeah.
Second show, 10:07. That's kind of bizarrely random times,
really,
man.
Hey, I've often wondered, what do you do in between shows like that? Because you got, I mean, that's pretty draining. You're up there for what, an hour 15?
I go out and I usually sign stuff for people and take pictures with them. I you know, the audience is so important to me. Without, like, I love comedy like I love breathing. In fact, the only thing that ever came close to comedy, I just directed in my first movie that my company did, and that's the only thing that ever came even close to what I love doing about stand-up. So, you know, I just go out there. And I'm a big fan of Springsteen, and Springsteen goes full out. So when I'm at the show, once I hit the show, that's it. I mean, from the time I'm there till the time I leave, then I collapse. But up till then, it's full out craziness. Yeah.
Now, we've got a topic going. I mentioned it to you. What is the biggest dumbass thing, Christopher Titus, that you've ever done?
Well, I don't know, it was like a month ago. I was in Minneapolis, and a friend of mine said he needed some painkillers, and I sold him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. So, boy, am I an idiot. No.
Little egg on your face. Right?
Yeah, right? Wow. You know, who knew?
That turned quick.
So, why did he start there? And why did he start there? So I was at, when I had my show at Fox, the biggest dumbass thing I did was go to a meeting that they asked me to with the network president. Don't send the comedian. That's why I lost my TV show. I went to the meeting and they said, we want to change it. We had three presidents in 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Not a real steady hand on the tiller at the time. And the show was doing real well. And they said, and the new president said, I want you to change the show. And basically she wanted us to do what another show was doing. Dharma and Greg was doing that. They were 20th producing. And I said, And don't take the comedian. Don't take a guy who his whole life has got to run the show. Wrote the material, drove to the gig, performed it. And I looked at the network president. The show was doing really well in the ratings. And I said, do you even watch this show? Because let me explain to you how this works. And then I explained to the network president, as if she were a three-year-old, how television works.
And that was your last meeting with her.
It turns out, if you tell your boss they're stupid long enough, they will fire you. That's what happened. So that's a $30 million mistake. I think I win. Do I get the T-shirt and the new Cheap Trick tea CD? Please, because I win. Anyone got can beat $30 million? Because that's what
wow.
I did.
Well, but
someone said to me, I told that story once, and someone goes, dude, you know what? With the new syndication rules, you would have made maybe $11 million. Oh, thank you. Like that is the worst trying to make me feel better. Oh, thank God. Thank God.
But look, I kind of have to defend, because here this woman is telling you the show is doing well, and she wants to completely change the way you do it. That had to hit at a hard place.
Well, we'd also done the episode. She wanted us to basically have a love triangle. She wanted the person that my girlfriend on the show to cheat on each other. Well, we did that episode 4, and we were now in year 3, and right. I'm like, I should have been diplomatic, but I'm a comedian. It's like not my job. So to any comedians out there that are going to get a TV show, don't go to any meetings. Just don't go. Just go. Become an alcoholic. Get a drug addiction. Something.
Yes,
just
see,
keep have something keep you busy. Not a high one, just a low level one. Just so
you can function.
Or the producers, just shoot them before we're going to the meeting, and then just stick that comic with a needle full of some sort of knockout juice, and then such an idiot.
Yeah, Chris.
All right, let's go to Cheryl. She's calling from Irvine. Cheryl, what dumbass thing did you do?
Actually, it wasn't a dumbass thing that I've done. I was calling when you were talking about the June bug.
Oh right.
When I was in junior high, we would take the bus to school. I went to a private school, so it was about an hour ride on the bus. Mm-hmm. And my friend Frank was able to grab big flies with his hand. And I always had long hair. It was about 12 inches long. So we'd take one of my hairs, tie it around the fly's head, and then hold on to it for a while, like a little leash, about 10 or 12 inches long, and let it buzz around while we would ride the bus to school. I'd never heard of anybody else doing that.
So the fly was making your hair flap around on the bus.
No, we used my hair.
She would pull it out.
They basically just wound a piece of her hair like a leash.
Yeah.
And basically flew the fly around the bus. But you know, in the fly world, it was some horror show. You would not believe the torture. It was like, it was worse than waterboarding. Yeah, right. They just tied a string around my head and flew me around. Oh, my God.
So at this point, it's Dolly Parton, Mark, and Cheryl who have experienced this.
Now, Christopher, I always, stand-up comedy is one of the most difficult, frightening things you are in front of a crowd of people with just you and a microphone. And I know that you've got your solid hour 15, but I'm sure you've experienced nights where the same act that killed last night in Kansas City bombs in Detroit.
Yeah, usually it's corporate things that happens. Usually in a club. I've been doing this since I was 19, so I got it down. But I get booked for this. And corporate things, they'll pay you a lot of money, so you want to do well. And I went up to this big, I think it was Skechers or whatever, and they're a great company, except the boss was drinking, and the boss did like 2 hours in front of the people, and they'd been there all day, so they were hammered, and they're all laughing at the boss because he's the boss.
Right.
Then I had two comics go in front of me. The middle act was so drunk. Here's how he introduced me. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy I'd like to bring up right now, you know him, I don't even need to say his name. And he walked off the stage. and so I walk up and I'm like, hey guys, and they've already been there drinking, having a day, and they're always 3.5 hours into a show, and it literally was like digging ditches for the next 45 minutes. And all I kept thinking was, I already got the check, just keep talking.
I have heard this about corporate gigs.
Yep,
guys, they keep doing it because the money's so great, but it's the worst. When you are dealing with a room full of fat bosses and their pig wives, it is just the worst audience ever.
I've actually worked for that exact company.
Stand-up comedian Christopher Titus is with us this morning. He is 3 nights at the Brea Improv, Thursday at 8, Friday 7:30 and 9:45, Saturday 7 and 9:15. For tickets, go to brea.improv.com. So you also have the Titus Podcast.
Titus Podcast, yep.
I was in podcasting for a while and loved it because you can basically do anything that you want. And one of the things that I love about podcasting is you can be so singular about what, like scuba diving. There's three podcasts that are dedicated to night diving alone.
Wow.
And that's one of the beauties of it. What is the Titus podcast?
We basically do a thing. We take on the news every week. We do, I do think on the Armageddon update, which I write a 5-minute bit about what happened in the news, and then we go after it, and then we talk about that for half an hour, and then we do kind of nutty news, and that's about it. But we try to actually deal with the world in a positive way. It's called the Armageddon update because it seems like we're heading towards it, especially this new election. Wow, what happened? What happened? I'm sorry, the last four guys freaked me out. We're down to two now, but we got Trump, who's like a mobster 4-year-old who talked about his penis during a presidential debate. I thought, is this a Saturday Night Live sketch? What is going on? Then you had Ted Cruz, which I'm so glad he dropped out because you could just see in his head, Ted Cruz just played in his head all the time, no one's ever going to wipe a booger on me. No one's ever going to wipe a booger on me. No one's ever going to wipe a booger on me. And then you got Hillary, who's got a wake of bodies, allegedly. Allegedly, I said, because I don't want to end up in the front seat with a gun in my hand and trunk fibers on my shirt. And then you got Bernie, who I love Bernie, but he just looks like a really happy model train enthusiast. You just know he's going to be in the basement of the White House going, doot, doot. Mr. President, Vladimir Putin's on the phone. I told you when I'm playing with my trains, leave me alone. Thank you. So it's been a while. So I wrote a special. If you go to ChristopherTitus.com, I have 6 other specials. I'm a huge fan of Prince, so I actually took his model. I've filmed my last 2 comedy specials. We're going to film the next one in July 9th out in the Center Theater in Escondido, and I own them. So I own all my stuff. So if you want to go to ChristopherTitus.com, you can get it. Neverlution, I wrote about the last election. You know, is it taking our country back from these idiots? And boy, is it really apropos for this election. My God.
Let's go to Gail. She's calling from here in L.A. She is a fan of yours. Gail, say good morning to Christopher Titus.
Hi, Christopher. This is Gail in Santa Clara.
What's up, G? How you doing?
Huh?
How are you doing?
Fine. When are you coming back to San Jose Improv?
San Jose Improv. I think November. I'll be there in November. That's my hometown. I grew up there, Fremont, Newark, California, so I love San Jose. And that area's gotten better. I mean, there's a lot less shootings when we were down filming the club.
Good. Yeah, I've been the person who's been bothering producer Danny for months now to get you on this show.
Oh, thank you so much. These guys are really great. It's thank you. So you're the one. Good. I have one fan.
You
must have a lot of pull because it's one person. Like, we got to get him on. Why? Because Gail won't leave us alone.
No, because I bug Mark all the time.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen me live before at San Jose?
Are you kidding? I saw you a couple months ago at Cobb's.
Oh yeah. That's that club's a great club. All those Bay Area clubs.
San Francisco, right?
Yeah, San Francisco. All those Bay Area clubs are phenomenal. But all right, so I'll be there with the new show. Actually, we're gonna film the show on the 9th, and then I'm writing a 90-minute campaign speech. I'm gonna make fun of all these idiots up to the election, and then we're gonna do a wrap.
I can't wait to see Rachel's comedy.
Yeah, my wife. She's gonna do her special this next year too. Yeah, she. Her mom. She wrote this great stuff about her mom, and she's really become a great comic. She just got her first headlining gig. So thanks for. I'll tell her. Rachel's my wife, who's a comedian, who's also really funny.
Nice.
So the Titus podcast. Do you always? Because you've got one coming up, the Titus podcast, August 15th at Flappers in Burbank. Do you always do it in front of an audience?
No, I have a studio. I have a studio space that I rent, and we do it. You know, and we film stuff there. We film part of the movie we just shot there, and so not in front of a live audience. It's weird. You know, I didn't even think about it because the podcast. The great thing about podcasts, you have this freedom to just be an idiot, and now I could be heckled when I go to Flappers. I could be heckled in the middle of my podcast, so it could get ugly.
Let's talk about the movie. I am a gigantic supporter of independent film.
Okay.
And this one is self-produced, starring you. It's called Special Unit.
Yeah, due to the Fairness and Disabilities Act, the LAPD has to hire 4 handicapped undercover detectives, and I play Nick Nolte's mugshot, pretty much. I play by far... I just played you a clip. Yeah.
I just watched the scene, and I was crying. It is damn good.
If you go to YouTube, just type in Christopher Titus Special Unit Teaser, TEASER Teaser, and there's a 2-minute scene that we put on. It is really funny, and Billy Gardella's in it from Mike and Molly. I cannot tell you, Billy Gardell is so funny in this, and he's crazy. He plays my police captain who hates me, and at one point he's screaming at me, and every time we're in the editing room editing it and fixing it, my God, this guy is funny. He's phenomenal. So yeah, so we don't have a release date yet. We're still editing, but it's really funny. I'm really proud. And we use real disabled actors, and Peter Farrelly got involved in it, which is interesting.
So, you know, they always say never spend your own money on your film.
Yes.
Where did you get the funding?
A third of it's my money. you know, but Elon Musk says, why would you have a company successful if you don't have anything invested in it? You know, so I always believe take the risk on your own. Because I tell you what, I will sweat and I will bleed to make sure this works.
So yeah. What is the release plan?
We're going to send it to Sundance first. Try to get into Sundance. It's that funny. I was worried about that until we started editing and I realized, okay, we're good. So we're going to send it to Sundance. We're going to do some film festivals. We're going to do 10 premieres across the country. So we get premium video on demand, and then we're going to go for theatrical first. Yeah.
All right. We're going to do the island questions. So you're going to go live the rest of your life on a deserted island. You can take only one kind of candy bar. What candy bar will it be?
Oh, man. Okay, the hazelnut, the dark chocolate hazelnut bar from Trader Joe's.
Oh.
That's big. So also, yeah. It's big enough you could also use it as a raft to get off the damn island.
You can take one kind of food that you'll consume the rest of your life. What will it be?
Oh man, this is brutal. Okay, Hugo's turkey wrap. There's a Hugo's and Studio City.
Oh yeah, in North Hollywood.
Yeah. They make this turkey wrap that is the best thing ever.
You can take one album. What will it be?
Oh man, I would have to go. K-Tel's Greatest Hits from 1995, because then I get a little variety.
I would probably
start to hate Pearl Jam after a while, though.
You can take one movie. What will it be?
Pulp Fiction.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, not, yeah right?
Yeah.
For conversation's sake, somebody to talk to, dead or alive, they'll be alive on the island. Who would you like?
Dead or alive, Robin Williams.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Of course, after a while, you get, Robin, shut up. Boy, oh, my God, too much energy? What are you doing? Shut up! I've been on this damn island for 3 years. This is a mistake. Shut up!
For sexual gratification, dead or alive, in their prime, they'll be there with you. Who would you take?
Bill Cosby.
You can't say why.
Bill Cosby. Just because I'd be knocked out a lot. That's why I'd be bored.
You can return to any time in your life. What time would that be, and why?
It would be 2002 at the meeting with the network president.
Yep.
I would go right back to that time, and I would fix it. I would go back to the future. I'd call Doc Brown and send me back. When you're in the meeting, for God's sakes, tell the president you love with her idea.
All right. So as a stand-up comedian, by the way, we're joined by Christopher Titus. Brea Improv, 3 nights, Thursday at 8 p.m., Friday 7:30 and 9:45, Saturday 7 p.m. and 9:15. Tickets at brea.improv.com.
And the new show is called Born with a Defect. If you're a parent, it's therapy. If you don't have kids, it's 90 minutes of birth control.
So who, in your mind, is the greatest stand-up comedian of all time?
That's a hard one because you got to put it all together. You got to think, and I'm a huge student of comedy. Like I when I was 12 years old, I would walk home from my junior high, and I would go to our local library, and they had like Richard Pryor and George Carlin albums, and they let me check them out, and some of the Richard Pryor albums are pretty harsh.
Yeah.
And I used to listen in my room, and my dad comes in here. My dad walks by my room, hears Richard Pryor swearing from my bedroom, bangs open the door, goes, "Who the hell gave you that album?" He said, the library let me check it out. My dad took a long pause and he goes, okay. Like someone at the library, like, well, I guess it's library approved.
The library math.
Yeah. So I honestly was a huge fan of Cosby when I started. Cosby's kind of a storyteller. I'm a storyteller. But Robin Williams is my second favorite. So I've kind of mixed those two in a way. I think you got to go with George Carlin in a sense of performance, characters, and writing. I think if you sit it down, and focus, I think you have to go with George Carlin. Mm.
Christopher, what
do you think?
Richard Pryor.
Yeah,
nobody's ever done what he did. So to take a broken life like his and hysterically tell the most disturbing stories in the funniest kind of way.
Well, that's where Norman Rockwell kind of came from. I mean, if you look at Richard Pryor's Long Beach special, that Long Beach special, someone says, "Why?" My wife didn't get it because she's 13 years younger than me. She goes, "I don't really get Richard Pryor." I said, "Do you understand in 1977, this guy does a bit about blowing holes in a Rolls Royce in a domestic violence episode while he's in front of LAPD and he didn't get shot? Do you understand like how rare and weird that story is?" And then he does the thing about his first heart attack when he goes, "You were talking about when you eating all that pork," and he just that Richard Pryor Long Beach is the groundbreaker. That's the one where comedy changed.
Christopher, you're welcome in here anytime. Thanks for coming in. See you soon.
Yes.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So, Todd, I didn't expect last night, especially with the two wins by blowouts, and then they get blown out.
Well, you know, this has been a weird series, Mark. Golden State and Cleveland, obviously. I mean, just yesterday we're talking about, is Golden State better than the 1980 Showtime Lakers? And then last night they get blown out by 30 points. They lose 120-90. Three games so far, three blowouts. It's 2-1 in favor of Golden State. This one won at home by LeBron James and company, who had a super game. Did you see the slam dunk that LeBron James had last night? An alley-oop dunk. If you haven't seen it, I mean, watch the sports replay shows. It'll be all over. But this guy catches the ball 5 feet away from the basket and in one motion slams it down and through. It was just unbelievable. So
Todd, here's my prediction for game four, and it's weak, but because it happened like it did, obviously the Cavs have home court, but I think that this game four is going to be much closer.
Well, I hope so. I hope we get just a good competitive game for one of these games in the finals. By the way, Curry and Thompson combined for 29 points. That's all poor shooting. All right, on to baseball, Mark. And the Dodgers, they couldn't hit anything either. In fact, they only banged out four hits and had no runs. Five pitchers for the Rockies, four hit them. So they lose 1-0. And the Angels have lost three in a row now to the Yankees, 12-6. The Yankees go for a four-game sweep tonight. Mike Trout, though, his 13th home run of the season last night. He's hitting .309. And did you see the video of Snoop Dogg throwing out the first pitch at the Padres?
Oh, God.
Yes, it's so good.
I mean,
oh, God.
It's Harry Doyle, the announcer from Major League, played by Bob Uecker, would say, just a bit outside.
All right, somebody,
I mean, my goodness. Somebody
put this together and send it to Mikey so we can put it up. Take the video of Snoop and him throwing the first pitch, and then edit that together with 50 Cent when his went left.
Right.
I could watch both of those one after the other for hours.
Someone interviewed Snoop afterwards and said, "What were you thinking when you pitched the ball?" And he goes, "I was thinking, how do you throw a baseball?"
Well, if you split the difference between the two, they threw a bullet strike. So look at it that way.
So good.
NFL, and Mark, you teased it before the song there. The Broncos are offering Von Miller, World Series hero, 6 years, $114 million. Now, for an outside linebacker, pass rusher, that's a heck of a salary. That's even close to quarterback money. But so far, both sources are saying they're not close to an agreement, which tells me Von Miller's holding out. That's a lot of money for a defensive end.
Do you think he wants out of Denver?
No. I think he wants more money. I think he realizes that the next 6 years are these 6 years of his life where he can make mega, 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 mega bucks, and he's going to try to squeeze as much out of it as possible.
Okay.
To squeeze as much out of possible would be Andrew Luck. The Colts owner, Jimmy Ursay, says that he would be surprised if they did not reach a long-term contract for Andrew Luck before the July 15th deadline. That's basically the deadline for Von Miller as well, too. You have until July 15th to sign your veteran players to long-term contracts. The NFL saying no hoodies, no more hoodies for players who put them on underneath their uniforms, and you see the little hoodie sticking out behind the helmet.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys been doing it.
Yeah, and they say no more. That's a uniform violation. It covers up your name and everything else like that. But, you know, so does the long hair and the dreadlocks sometimes covering up the name. So, I mean, you're going to make a guy cut his hair, too? I don't know. Maybe that's
Do you think
the
maybe the NFL would think that the hoodies is like thuggery or something?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's what they – or, you know, I'll tell you where it's also dangerous. Somebody grabbing from behind a tackle and grabbing the hoodie and yanking a person down. I mean – Would they consider that horse cowering? Because horse cowering is you're supposed to grab the pads, but you could grab the hoodie.
Well, but you can grab hair. If you can grab hair, right. You can grab right. Hoodie.
And there have been guys who have lost their dreadlocks have come out because they've grabbed hair to it. I mean, that's why I wouldn't have it sticking out of the back of my helmet, but that's me, and I don't play. And Johnny Manziel doesn't play right now either, but attorney Jim Darnell says he's working on plans to play this year, but more likely in 2017. Johnny, you need to have a team interested in you, okay, pal? And finally, tennis. Maria Sharapova has been suspended 2 years. She is one of the wealthiest, richest female athletes in the world. She's a five-time Grand Slam winner, but she tested positive for a banned substance, meldonium. She will appeal, but right now she stands suspended for 2 years. That's it in sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota, beautiful Valencia, RAV4 Highlanders, huge inventory, Tacoma, Tundras, tops, and trucks. It's FrontierToyota.com.
Coming up, four reasons today doesn't suck. And now, four reasons today doesn't suck.
One.
It was on this day back in 1997, Paul McCartney releases his album Flaming Pie. Now, they eventually named it Flaming Pie, but its working title was Flaming Pile of Crap.
Oh, is Christopher Titus still in the room?
Two.
It was on this day back in 1973, Secretariat wins the Triple Crown.
Three.
Hey, Mark. Yeah. I'm sorry. Real quick, guess what came up on my timeline today on Facebook, and I was going to repost it. Ooh. There is a side-to-side race of American Pharoah. Remember, it was last year or the year before, who won the Triple Crown right. Next to Secretariat to see side-by-side who is faster. Secretariat was faster, won by, left all the other horses in the dust, and won by, I think, 2.5 seconds over American Pharoah.
I had a buddy once, we were talking about the greatest athlete of all time, and some of us were going Ali and so forth. He went Secretariat.
I get that.
Happy birthday, Michael J. Fox is 55.
I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
Danny just got a little wet in his pants.
Four.
Happy birthday, Johnny Depp is 53.
One of the greatest pieces of advice I've ever gotten in my life was from my mom. You know, when I was a little kid, there was a kid who was bugging me, you know, in school. And she said, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. She said, the kid's bugging you. He puts his hands on you. You pick up the nearest rock or whatever you can get your hands on, and you lay him out. And I did. And I felt better. And it worked. For me, you know, that was a great lesson because someone had invaded my space, invaded my being, you know. I was doing something against me that I didn't want to be done. So I took control of the situation and I ran with it.
Four Reasons Today Doesn't Suck is brought to you by my friends and buddies. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. My friends and buddies. See, the reason they're applauding is because I usually forget to do this and I just got a block on it. But not today. Bristol Farms, your extraordinary food store, keeping it local since 1982. All right, here's crazy. Sometimes our minds wander to strange places, like we might think about divorcing our partner even if we're happily married. Clinical psychologist and relationship therapist Jared Defile explains this is a normal reaction and often occurs because something other than the relationship is causing strain, like your job or your financial situation. He says at an unconscious level, you may associate your marriage with these other problems because your spouse personifies the stressful responsibilities in your life. Though this will likely not result in divorce, it may cause you to disconnect from your partner. So what should you do, Gina? You're fantasizing about divorce because of things not related to it.
I say sign the paper and move out. What do you do?
You're fantasizing about divorce,
right.
Though it's not related to your relationship. So since it's a strong marriage, you communicate and you say, I'm really stressed out. I need your help. I need you to talk to me.
Communicate. Oh, I always forget that one.
Pretty important one to remember.
Yeah.
In an essay, Amber Heard's friend
recounts the night that she called the police on Johnny Depp. Artist Tillett Wright writes in Refinery 29 that she reported Depp's alleged abuse because his wife, quote, never would have, and because she watched the violence escalate over the years. Quote, the reports of violence started with a kick on a private plane. Then it was shoves and the occasional punch, until finally in December, she described an all-out assault and she woke up with her pillow covered in blood. Wright says she went to their house after the incident. Quote, I saw the pillow with my own eyes. I saw the busted lip and the clumps of hair on the floor. I got the phone call immediately after it happened, her screaming and crying, a stoic woman reduced to sobs. Meanwhile, Benicio del Toro has come to Depp's defense. The Puerto Rican actor tells the New York Daily News, quote, what I know, there's a lot of trouble from the girl that sounds a little manipulative. It sounds a little bit like there's something really twisted about that girl, but I don't know the specifics. Del Toro called his Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas co-star a nice guy, very caring, very smart. Now, only to go back and counter that first part where the friend went and saw the blood and the busted lip,
right.
They were called to the house, the cops, and they went and they found nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Am I incorrect?
I don't know if it was that particular incident, but it had happened at one point that they said, what do you want us to do? We don't see any evidence. So I wonder if the truth will ever come out on this.
Let's go to Ken. He's calling from Mission Viejo. Gina, spell Viejo.
V-I-E-J-O.
Well done.
Thank you.
Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Mark?
Really, really good. Putting on a radio show today.
Yeah, I've only heard a little bit of it, and it works. I can't catch everything. But I wanted to call and say hi to you. I've been listening to you for over 30 years, ever since Mark and Brian early days.
Mm.
I'm probably caller number 48, or listener number 48.
Good morning, 48.
But, yeah, today's my birthday. I'm 61, like another certain old man I know. I've been married for 34 years, like another certain old man I know. And I just wanted to call and say hi. This is my present to me today.
So, first of all, you're an old guy compared to me. I'm 60. You're 61. You're a lot older than I am.
I am. I know. And it shows.
Now, you and your wife of 34 years, is it a good relationship?
It really is. We're best friends. We enjoy doing everything together. We'd rather spend time with each other than almost anybody else we know. She's really smart, so I got lucky there. She's really pretty, so I got really lucky there. It just turned out great.
Well, dude, look, at 61, I'm not sure that you can function downstairs, but I know that you would probably like to have sex for your birthday.
I'm really planning on it. I'm hoping she is, too.
But it's your... No, stop. There is one day... First of all, let me speak to my ladies. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
On your husband or boyfriend's birthday... Gifts and cards and cake, whatever. The only thing a guy wants is to get laid. And if you're not doing that, then you're not giving whatever. The point, Ken, is this. The only day of the year that you can demand it or beg for it, but demand it because it's your birthday, is today. You can say, we are going to have sex. I don't care.
I'm going to try to get away with that. I'll probably do the begging part. That seems to work well.
Yeah. Well, I've been begging for 34 years, and it's not all it's cracked up to be, I'll be quite frank. You know,
it works often enough, I still use it.
Well, Ken, listen, happy birthday. Call me tomorrow and let me know if you got late.
I will do that. Also, I'll tell you about when I used to live in the Valley and when I saw Elvis and met Priscilla and got beat up by Chuck Norris. So I have more to tell you later.
This is appointment listening. Are you serious?
Serious, absolutely. Oh my God. God's truth.
All right, tomorrow when you call me to tell me whether you got laid, I want to hear the Elvis Priscilla story.
Okay, you got it.
Happy birthday, Ken. Let us find out what is trending, Gina Grad.
Sorry, I was just taking a sip of water. Well, Sal mentioned this earlier in the Rock Report. Queen guitarist Brian May has denied Donald Trump permission to use Queen's music at his rallies after Trump aired We Are the Champions as his entrance music at a recent speech. Muhammad Ali's funeral will be held in the hometown of Louisville, Kentucky on Friday. 15,000 free tickets to the funeral were distributed in just 1 hour. And I'm going to have to take over for Chick on the Street in the fall, Mark, if that's cool, because... Let me back up. The first cat cafe is going to open in L.A. Oh, God, I'm so excited. I'm Gina Grad, and Trending is brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, another very special Facebook feud where we get dragged into it again. But first, Alice Cooper. This is Mark in the Morning.
Okay. Let me talk you through. So Donald Trump has been using We Are the Champions by Queen at his rallies, and Queen is asking that he stop. Rita Wild posted that comment last night on Facebook. The following Facebook feud is directly from you, the listeners, who were commenting under Rita's post.
Live from Radio City in Hollywood, it's Facebook Feud, starring Mark Thompson with Gina Grad.
Facebook Feud consists of real online conversations between real people about really stupid stuff. The names have been changed to protect the ignorant, but these posts may sound familiar. KSWD-FM, its staff, ownership, management, sponsors, affiliates, and actors who skillfully reenact these conversations are not responsible if you recognize one of your posts. Facebook is public. Anybody can read them. Allow us to prove it as we bring you Facebook Feud. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've seen enough politics come out of a music station I used to respect. I really thought the old KMET folks I grew up with had more class than this.
I'm with you, Brad. It doesn't matter who the president is. God is king. Hashtag God wins.
I'm not following a music station on Facebook to see political crap. I think I'm done here.
Hey, Hillary should use Queen's fat bottom girls.
You're idiots with bad memories. KMET was full of liberals. Hashtag immoral minority. Hashtag hooya. Hashtag Jim Ladd. Hashtag paraquat. Hashtag whatever happened to Cynthia.
Wow. Instead, he could use Won't Be Fooled Again by The Who, because that's what the other politicians keep doing.
All Trump's going to have left is Ted Nugent music. Maybe Strangelhold. Supposed to say Stranglehold, but they can't type.
Queen is full of liberals. I bet they'll let Hillary use their song Fat Bottom Girl. That's perfect.
Man, I love Trump. It's too bad Freddie Mercury died so young. Between the two of them, it can be so much genius.
Really? You mentioned Trump and Freddie in the same breath? Go back to your Kentucky hills. Hashtag kissing cousin hick idiot. Hashtag stick it up Trump's orange pucker.
Oh. Oh, I made it in. Gina Grad is so biased. Like, I wonder who that liberal biatch is voting for. What a joke.
God, I love that one. The left preaches tolerance as long as it aligns with their point of view.
Oh, I know. Hillary will probably use Fat Bottom Girls from Queen.
Put down the crack pipe and walk away.
Hey, did you see my idea? I'm serious. I should email Hillary's campaign. They need to use that other Queen song, Fat Bottom Girls, hashtag genius.
Nice. Oh,
a lot of people come out with the same idea.
Do they not read the other post before they post?
Generally on Facebook, in people's rush to correct other people, they just go for it. They don't read what's above it.
Hashtag right. Stick it up Trump's orange bucker. I love that.
All right, so Ed Sheeran is being sued. What is it, $20
million? $20 million.
All right, everybody who listens to this says it's the same song. I briefly checked it out this morning. So let's hear Ed Sheeran's song. And do we have the name of the guy who's suing?
We do. Do you?
Matt Cardle.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's hear the Ed Sheeran, and then let's hear the other song that he's being sued over.
Okay.
So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. Wait for me to come home.
He has these little videos in the background.
Loving can mend your soul, and it's the only thing that I know. No, I swear it will get easier. Every piece of your heart. us when we die. Keep this love in a photograph.
There are certainly some similarities.
Wait, we're still on the same song.
Yeah, we're still
right?
on the Ed Sheeran song.
Oh.
It better be similar.
You want the other one now?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you find me? You came out of nowhere like me. It's kind of amazing how you found me through all the noise somehow. I was pulling empty pails out of the wishbone.
Now, the Independent reports that the chorus to both songs share 39 identical notes. That's what the plaintiff is going with. And that's, for one chorus, that's a lot of notes that are similar.
This is just going to get bigger and bigger. I don't know. Katie, what did you think? My youngest child.
She was playing it yesterday, this song, the one that's not Ed Sheeran, and I looked at her and I said, I know this song, this is Ed Sheeran.
Yeah,
and
she was singing along. I go, no, it's not.
I was singing his lyrics. She goes, no, it's not, somebody else. So I think it sounds exactly the same.
Wow. What? So George Harrison was found guilty of stealing from He's So Fine by the Chiffons. Mm. And he finally said, okay, I see the similarities, but I didn't purposely
right.
do it.
And same thing with Sam Smith and Tom Petty, mm-hmm. who he's now paying Tom Petty out, I think, in perpetuity, who said, I don't know Tom Petty, but I hear what you're saying and I'll acquiesce. So we'll see what happens. $20 million, lot of money.
Lot of money, and this is just going to keep going.
It's time for the Redneck Word of the Day.
You got a little pretty male thing.
The word of the day is farn.
I couldn't understand a word he said. Must be from some foreign country.
The word of the day is did.
I'm sorry. He's did, Jim.
The word of the day is Bob War.
Boy, I told you stay away from that Bob War fence. Thank you, Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, man.
All right, now Danny put this together. He considers this his best work.
It's time for the Redneck Word of the Day.
We got a little pretty male thing.
I think the spit at the end is the genius of the whole thing.
He said after he did it, he listened to it 100 times in a row.
All right, Josh the Fleaganator joins us. Josh is Dave Beesing's assistant. Josh had him a tough weekend. Josh, share with everybody what you shared with us.
For the third time in my life, I've ruined an iPhone by submersing it in liquid. My third straight iPhone.
You went swimming with your phone?
Yes, for the set. Well... I ruined the last three. The first one I dropped in my dog's water bowl, and I watched it die before my eyes. And then the last two, I went swimming with it in my pocket.
I had a kayak, and I was kayaking over to an island that's in the middle of the lake, and I had my iPod in my pocket with headphones on. And so I pulled up to the beach, but I was unable to get enough on, so I tried to step out of the kayak, mm-hmm. and I was thrown in the water. I actually listened through my headphones to my iPod fry.
Oh. Well, and you know that's why I have this new phone, because everything was just fine. We were at a hotel resort. I laid it way out of the way on the hot tub, had my headphones in. Tim said, you ready to get out? Yeah, sure. Stood up, dragged it into the hot tub, and that was that.
My wife was in the pool with me, and I all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I think I had my phone, and I just looked at it and I'm like, I think my phone's in my pocket. The look of disgust on her face, because she's just like, you ruined another one the same way. And I just reached in my pocket, looked at it, and I just threw it over the fence.
I love that instead of doing all that internally and checking your pocket, you first stop and announce it might be in my pocket.
I didn't want to check. I was like, I think it's in there. And she's just like, You fool.
Now, you had something else you were going to share. What was that? The second one. There was another story about something you told me yesterday, and I wanted to hear both.
Oh, that was the you were digging through trash. This actually can follow into the dumbest thing you've done. So this is like a double category thing. I once lost the keys to the company van in the middle of the Bradley landfill.
What?
And I was stranded out in a dump in the LA landfill. Looking for keys on an August afternoon. And it unbelievably, I found them.
How did they get in the dump? Well, in the landfill?
The job I did, we had to take a whole bunch of crap out of the Bradley landfill every day and just dump it and get rid of it. And I took the keys out of the car, or out of the van, and somehow they dropped out of my pocket. And then when we went to get back in, no keys. So, and it's like, what do you do? Who do you call? Nobody's going to come to the dump to get your van. And just like an hour went by and we're just walking around like idiots in a circle. And sure enough, I just looked down in the middle of like the soil at the Bradley landfill is not really soil. It's like this foamy, bouncy, cardboardy, gross dirt. Uh-huh. And I just saw like the key, the silver part, just protruding up from this dirt. And wow. I just cried with joy.
Josh, I think you and I are kindred spirits. We do things periodically that we can't help. We didn't mean to do it. It just happened.
I know. I can't explain how, I mean, I'm not a fool, but I kind of am.
You're fool-ish.
Josh, thank you for sharing.
No problem.
Police in England are looking for a naked creeper who has been hanging around cemeteries at night flashing his goods. He was most recently spotted last week by a woman who claims it was the third time she's seen him. She says, quote, "There's something very strange about him. He's creepy. He's looking back at you to make sure that you're looking."
Ew.
Now, my question is, how come this woman's been hit with him three times? You think after a while she'd stop going to the cemetery?
She's paying her respects, and apparently so is he.
Okay, more power to you, woman. Tom Cruise has been absent from his 10-year-old daughter Suri's life for 3 years, and according to Page Six, Scientology is to blame.
I met Tom one special day in April, and I'm so in love, and he's the most amazing man in the entire world. I couldn't be happier. He's such a bright light, and he's such a wonderful, kind person, and I mean, I miss him when he leaves the room.
A source told the Gossip column that the church forbids members from associating with non-believers, but clarified, quote, if he wanted to see her, he could see her. Anti-Scientology blogger Tony Ortega confirmed that Suri was probably deemed a PTS by the church, which stands for Potential Trouble Source.
Ooh.
In Touch also reported that Tom hasn't seen his daughter in 1,000 days, even though he sued their parent company, Bauer Publishing, back in 2012 for writing that he abandoned her. The case was settled for $50
million. Oh, is that all? That's now, Christopher Titus money.
That quote from Katie Holmes has always been haunting to me because you heard what she said, the glowing review she had. And then you go from that glowing glory, to defecting in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Look, I'm not doubting their love. I'm sure it was true and pure. But when you're really in love with somebody, do you use all the catchphrases or do you make it more personal? You know, I could tell you all the reasons I loved him and I wouldn't ever say, he's the most amazing man. I am so in love. I mean, it sounded like it was disingenuous at the time. So I wonder about it.
You mean the Katie quote?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, Mark. Oh,
I hear pure love.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm just jaded. But I have no clue, but it sounded like some sort of arrangement, and it sounded like a scripted thing that she's saying all the right things, but wow. I never connected with it. And then another rumor was that the reason why he hadn't seen Suri was because Katie Holmes forbid it and said, I'm out of this. I'm out of this religion. I'm out of this way of life, and I got to get out of here, and I got to take my daughter away from it. So who knows what the truth is?
But can she do that without a judge saying he has no rights to the child?
I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about it, but whatever. She watches trending so you don't have to. Here is Miss Gina Grad.
Thank you. Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has issued a vinyl tribute to Prince, a limited edition purple LP pressing of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Live Volume 1. Concludes with the once-in-a-lifetime jam of Prince with Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Steve Winwood, so many others on While My Guitar Gently Weeps. It was highlighted. It was the highlight of the 2004 ceremonies when George Harrison was inducted for his solo career. In addition, Time Life and the Rock Hall have digitally released the video of While My Guitar Gently Weeps via iTunes. And Mark, I know how much you love that.
I've seen it. It's pretty freaking great.
Yeah. And you know what? It definitely, when you say, is Prince rock? Is he not rock? Is he classic? Is he not? And I'm sitting here going, think of Raspberry Beret. I don't think he really falls in the category. But when you see him do something like this, yeah, it doesn't get much better and it doesn't get much more classic rock.
When you can take somebody like Prince and put them on a stage, him on a stage with iconic names, and Prince is the one that shines.
Yeah.
That lets you know what we're dealing with.
Agreed. Well, the Institute for Economics and Peace just released its annual Global Peace Index report, which ranks countries based on their safety and peacefulness. And the U.S.? You want to take a guess on where that was from 1 to 100, 1 being the best?
78.
Actually, it's even worse than I set up the question. It was 103. Out of 100. So according to the index, I actually have the cities for you. I will run them off right now. So top 10 most peaceful cities, peaceful nations in the world: Iceland, Denmark, Austria, New Zealand, Portugal, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Canada, Japan, and Slovenia. We were right around countries like Cuba, Haiti, and Bangladesh. Syria, way at the bottom, just behind Sudan, Iraq, Afghanistan. We were down a little from last year. We were 94th last year, so we really had our high hopes, but we slipped to 103.
Losing ground, people.
Yeah. I wonder if it's pound for pound. I mean, we do have 330 million people. It's quite a big nation, but I'm not sure if that's taken into consideration or not. And does the name Lupita Nyong'o ring a bell, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, so remember, she was in 12 Years a Slave. She's blown up into this huge star. Well, she's now on Broadway. She stopped her performance on Broadway in Eclipsed last week to shoot a nasty stare at an audience member who was videotaping the show. As we learned from Adele, they don't like that very much. Nyong'o stars in the Tony-nominated show and stopped delivering her monologue when she noticed the inappropriate act. For the next 2 minutes, she remained in character but stared down the woman in the audience to make sure she got the message. During the intermission, ushers confiscated the woman's phone. A rep for the show says video recording of the performance has become a big problem.
It's time to collect phones.
Yeah.
It really is. That's kind of where it's going. Because everybody's got a high pixel camera in their phone.
Yeah, agreed. And the first thing they tell you at a Broadway show is, please put your phones on silent, put them away, put away your candy wrappers. So it's not like she didn't get the message.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Go Lupita. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Guess Who?
Thursday. In the can, Uncle Joe, 10 at 10.
Thank you, Mark. All right, today we're featuring on the 10 at 10, the year that Pee-wee's Big Adventure came out, the movie about Mark getting to second base. The year that came out, that's what we're featuring, second base. You're right, 1985.
Yeah!
Yeah, 1985 music and second base.
Tomorrow, Gray Drake will tell us all about the new movies that are in. Is tomorrow the Purge movie, Gina?
Oh, I hope so. I'm not sure, but I saw a trailer and it looks terrifying.
I saw the first two. It's a fun premise. A rousing round of 5 seconds for $35. And our topic for tomorrow is, what did you buy when you were drunk? Mikey.
I need a line, and I need to hold it. Here's Toto. I'm Mark in the Morning.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great. But have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio. And you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.